Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and I promise you tonight we will hear about the 10 most infamous prison escapees who were never found. That'll happen before the night is over, I promise. Also, I wanted to make sure that I got pictures of Caesar on Raleigh.net. And Caesar is Johnny D's dog, as you know. And it's crude. I just created a page for him, and you've got a... with just 6 pictures. And you've got a link on Raleigh.net, Rolleye.net, in the first little blog there. So I'll do it upright at some time, but this is one of those days when it just wasn't a good one. So I found Johnny D's email about, 10, 20 minutes before the show began. I thought, I better do something. So I did. So now you can take a look at that. All right. So with that in mind, Paul in Iroquois County is going to kick it off tonight. What's going on, Paul?
Well, Raleigh, I would like to talk about the lifespan of radio personalities.
Lifespan, huh? We die at a younger rate in general. I don't know what that says, but in general we do. But some people have made it way up there.
There's a radio commentator on WLS. His name is John Howell. Mm-hmm. And he was on 1 week, and the next week he was gone.
And oh, okay. You're not actually talking about the actual lifespan of these people. And funny you mention that, because we do off the air have that conversation from time to time, because as a group we do die young. I don't know what happened to him, I think that someone had commented that they decided to terminate him. And see, I've never heard him, so I don't know. Because he's part of the station's goal of becoming the most conservative station in the country. So I have no idea. But that's what the word was on that, I guess he was too liberal for them.
So let's do a hypothetical. Mm-hmm. That you were notified by a station manager that your show is over.
Mm-hmm.
How much lead time would you get to know that you're leaving?
Usually, for most situations, usually none. You will not go back on the air after they've told you you're gone. Because, unfortunately, there are people who have abused the microphone and said all sorts of things that management and ownership wouldn't want on the air. So for the most part, you're told you're out. After the show, you don't get to come back and say goodbye. Now, that said, for whatever reason, maybe because, I've owned stations and I'm in the business on a business level as well, people have, when they were making a change, for the most part, let me do whatever I wanted to do because they knew that I wouldn't embarrass them or myself. And I can think of a few examples of that, because firstly, if you get new management and they want to go in a different direction, it has no real, no real impact on your talent or lack of it. You're just not what they wanted. And so you leave. But usually they don't get to.
There's a website, I think it's run by Rob Feeder.
Not anymore. I don't think. Is that still on? I thought Robert Feeder had retired. But okay.
He may have, or maybe he's doing it less these days.
I don't know.
But you would be able to find out, what happened to, like, Ben Howell or some TV personality, and you would get the inside dope on that.
Now, I don't think that he's doing that column anymore. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure he's not.
So
Now,
you would not have
Big John Howell, by the way, has a Twitter site, well, an X site now that it's not Twitter anymore, and you can look at a variety of things online to find out what various people think. Crane Chicago had an article on it. And of course, you know, you can go to things like radio-online.com and you'll see that as well. So, you know, there's a ton of places you can see.
So if you were to be told that you're not doing this show anymore, where would we go to find out where you're going, what you're doing next?
Well, in my case, that answer would be, I'm not going anywhere. This is the last hurrah, period. Whenever my buddy is ready for me to leave, I do the happy dance, and you'll never hear me on the radio again, other than the stations I own, you know, some liners and things like that. But in general, when you want to know what's going on with me, whether it's on the air or off the air, you just go to Rolly.net, Rolly.net.
Oh, great.
And I think that most hosts today have some outlet like that. If they're not doing their own site, well, in the case of Big John Howell, there's X, and who knows, maybe there's Facebook too, I don't know. But you can usually today find out pretty easily what happened to any host, because the internet will tell you.
Right.
So... I don't know John, but I certainly know what it's like for management to change direction, and I wish him the best of luck.
I do too.
Yeah.
The only thing that I ever didn't like what he said was he defended Joe Biden, saying Joe Biden is just as sane as the rest of us. And,
well, maybe, you know, then again, maybe that's an indictment on the rest of us. You know, I mean, when you're making a comparison like that, I don't know, the control group might be the problem. But no, for the most part, and I guess this really started with Rush Limbaugh, who I'll say to my dying day, more than anything, was an entertainer. You know, he used to be a top 40 disc jockey. He was playing the talk hits. But that ushered in this idea that your political leanings equal entertainment. And that's not necessarily true, because, you know, there's tons of people who've gotten on the air because they're trying to share a viewpoint. The hell with that. Get on the air and entertain. You know, it's like I didn't care what Rush Limbaugh thought about feminists, but when he came out with feminazis, I said, hey, I like that. That's clever. You know, things like that, or the caller abortion, or all the other things. So they were bits. And of course, later, yeah, he believed his own PR, so that's another subject. But in general, I don't care who the host is or what his political leanings are. I just want him to entertain me.
So do you have like a union or anyone who would defend you, come to your defense? Or
I don't know what defense you have. You know, if they violate a contract, you've got the court. See, I don't know what under what conditions he was working. There are unions, and a few stations still have unions for talent. You know, it's after and SAG, but not many. Less and less all the time. I assume that LS is a union shop, but I don't know that. But regardless,
that he had worked at a number of stations, and
of course
I imagine
he is.
People who did, and all of a sudden he was gone. And
well, that's the way it works. Now, looking at this one little article, has he been in the market? Let's see, for how many years? I don't know, but he was. Since 1988, so that's with a good run. He was on WCKG 105.9, and he was also on US 99.5, WUSN, and then he was at Salem Station, The Answer, the old WIND. I guess it's still WIND, but The Answer, 560. And he also voice-tracked for Country Gold. It was a Westwood One syndicated format. So that's the deal. On the station's Facebook page, they stated yesterday was John Howell's last show on the Big 8. All right, well, again, what recourse does he have? Probably none. Again, if they violated a contract, they need to pay it. But other than that, you know, unless it was something for cause and it wasn't, other than that, you know, he's not guaranteed a job. Nobody is.
No safety net.
You know, so... I wish him the best of luck. I don't know what he wants to do. He's been doing this a long time. Maybe he wants to just go play golf.
Right.
So I'm sure he'll be saying on his site, on X.
My next question is, You've probably heard of the Follow That Dream label that they bring out CDs of Elvis Presley's false starts, alternate takes, and what goes into the evolution of making the song.
Mm-hmm.
That's not very common, it seems, for, rhythm and blues singers or jazz singers. You don't get to hear it like the evolution of a song, like Jackie Wilson, doing like 12 takes of...
There's probably a little more of that than you would imagine. A lot of it's boots, a lot of it's imports. But I found some demos on CDs that had been unreleased. Like the Del Vikings, their demo for "Come Go With Me," which I thought was just great. Or some of the Jesse Belvin stuff, like a song that he just wrote and played at the piano with nothing else. So they come out on CDs from time to time. But when you're talking about Elvis Presley, you're talking about somebody who has sold millions and millions and millions of records. So there are Elvis Presley collectors all over the place. So, you can have a little label like FTD because you've got a big enough base, But I'm not expecting to have one anytime for the Vibrations or the Marathons.
Mm-hmm.
Who were the same group.
Because one of his first duets, I think, was with Kitty White, who was, I think, a jazz and blues singer back in the 50s. And I think, he did a duet with her on the movie King Creole. And I think that they did like 7 takes, but you don't get to hear any of those 6 takes. In fact, you can't even find pictures of them in the studio, which is sort of unusual because there's just gajillions of pictures of him and musicians and Dudley Brooks and Tiny Trimble and different musicians.
Obviously you're talking about Crawfish, King Creole, and you can see that whole film online if you look.
Right.
So it's there. But in terms of marketing at the time, I think there were different rules for the movies. The contracts are different. So that's a factor as well. And you're talking about Crawfish, Kitty White, and that was, I think, 1958.
That's right, yes.
I remember they recorded that.
Yeah, my last question is, there used to be a lot of talk about pirate radio.
Uh-huh.
You don't hear too much about it anymore.
Well,
is that
here's
probably
the deal.
Been clamped down to
no.
such an extent that...
Interestingly, it's such a huge problem in some places in America that the FCC is now going after landlords who are renting space to people who are pirating. Miami is particularly South Florida, but others as well. So it's going on. But I think what you're talking about are the ships that they used to use. They would set them out in international waters to get around state radio. But you see, there was a need for pirate radio in Great Britain because otherwise it was BBC. It was state-owned. There was no private ownership of radio at that time. And so,
mm-hmm.
with a wink and a nod, there were a various laser, what was it? I don't remember. But there were several ships. And I had some friends who worked them for a while. But sure.
I haven't never heard any of those. I wondered if you...
Those air checks? Oh, they're on YouTube. You just have to... one of the guys who did a lot of that and was Ron O'Quinn. And I think that he probably has a Facebook page. But Ron O'Quinn, he was... in the USA, he was various names. But he worked the ships. And I think some of those air checks are on there. So...
Mm-hmm.
But there are a ton of them, if that's what you want to hear. Now, remember, people listen to offshore pirate radio to hear the music that they weren't hearing on BBC, not to hear necessarily the best disc jockey of all time. It's all about, mm-hmm. Access to product. So some of these disc jockeys were great, and some of these disc jockeys were, but of course, if you've ever heard an Alan Freed air check, I rest my case. All right. Anything else?
All right. No, that's enough esoteric questions for tonight.
Well, good deal. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Dolly.
All right. So in the UK, I bet you John Peel would have an air check, or you know, maybe Johnny Walker or Tony Prince. Oh, Roscoe for a while, actually. Yeah, New York's Roscoe. Emperor Roscoe worked one of the ships. So there are others. It's there. 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio.
I was stranded in the jungle, afraid and alone, trying to figure a way to get a message back home. But how was I to know that the wreckage of my plane had been fixed by my father and my girl in love's name?
Meanwhile, back in the States, boom, 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 boom,
baby, baby.
While back in the jungle.
The boys in the jungle had me on the run when something heavy hit me like an atomic bomb. When I woke up, my head started clear and I had a strange feeling I was with cooking gear. I smelled something cooking and I looked to see. That's when I found out they was cooking me.
Meanwhile, back in the States, bum, bum,
baby, baby, let's make romance. Your old-time lover hasn't got a chance.
WGN Radio, I'm Riley James, and those are the Jayhawks, and I'm going to tell you all about them. Yes, they're also the Marathons and the Vibrations, and it's James Johnson. It would have been his 84th birthday today, so we'll get back to that, but right now we'll get to the news on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Riley James. Those are the Marathons. Actually, no, no, it's not. It's the Vibrations. And the Vibrations used to be the Jayhawks. And to sort this out, we have to go back to James Johnson. He was a lead singer of the Jayhawks, who did, by the way, the original Stranded in the Jungle. You might know it better by the Cadets, but and it was also done by several other people on versions you'll never want to hear. But that said, James was also co-writer of that, so he did all right. He would have turned 84 years old today. Yeah, born in 1939 in Brooklyn, but as a kid, moved to L.A. and went to Dorsey High. Well, that's where he met the rest of the guys who would form the Jayhawks, like I say, Stranded in the Jungle and not much else. Then they became the Vibrations. And that's they did well as the Vibrations. In fact, they were on Checker, and Watusi was a pretty big hit for them. But you see, here's what happened. Oh, man. One of those stories you would always always say, you see, what happened was, okay, a producer in L.A. wanted to record a song on the Olympics. And the song had the same, melody line, really, and beat as Baby Hully Gully, which, you know, you just heard Peanut Butter, which is very much like Baby Hully Gully. The problem is that the Olympics were off touring. And so H.B. Barnum, he was the producer, figured what the heck, he'd get the Vibrations to do it. And the only problem was that ultimately he decided not to give it to the Olympics. He decided that, well, I can sell this. And he did. He sold this to the guy who owned RV Records. But he warned him. He said, well, you can't call them the Vibrations. They're under contract to the Chess Brothers. You got to call them something else. And so what they determined was they'd come up with the Marathons. Now, this would have been fine, except the Chess Brothers figured it out. And that's a story in and of itself, too. And ultimately, that was the end of the Vibrations being able to, perform on the sly. But since the Marathons did pretty well with Peanut Butter, they had to have more Marathons who had nothing to do with the Vibrations or the Cadets. So meanwhile, James Johnson, who was in the heart of it all, he would have been 84 today. And sadly, most of the Vibrations are no longer with us, but I understand Carl Fisher is still alive in L.A. So anyway, they were a vibrant group, to say the least, with quite the history. All right, that's the Cliff Notes version of it. Yeah, I could go on, but I digress. All right, Dee is in Lyle. Hello, Dee.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, can you hear me, Rory?
Loud and clear. Can you hear me?
I can. And you know what? I had you on speakerphone here, and if that didn't sound good, then I would take that off and just talk to you, with the phone up to my ear.
Okay.
I had called in because I thought, the topic that was brought up about John Howell.
Uh-huh.
In Radio Land, it seems, when somebody is terminated, the station goes silent, no information is given,
mm-hmm.
People can't talk about it, they erase the slate.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought it was a verboten topic, so I didn't think it would be brought up. But since the gentleman before me brought it up, the light bulb came on.
Okay.
And I wanted to call in because John Howell, who was belovedly known as DJ 8 Big John Howell,
uh-huh.
was the best of the best. You would have been so impressed, Raleigh. He was the top of the charts, as you are at the top of your game. Brilliant man.
Well, let's not use this past tense because he's still alive and we'll be looking forward to where he shows up next.
What I wanted to bring up is, interestingly enough, because the Cumulus station he is at, of course, they wipe the slate clean. And interestingly enough, that station is such that it is mostly syndicated show.
Of course.
There are only two shows on that station, the morning show and John's, that were live and local.
And let me ask you, what did they replace him with?
It's pretty funny now, Raleigh. It's like a soap opera. It's devolved into utter chaos.
Oh, that's awesome.
Utter chaos. Right now, they have somebody who's been there for a while that was promoted from, he started out working for John as a producer. He worked his way up the ranks. They put him on in the news department, mm-hmm. and now they've had him filling in. Now, he's going to be there until Thursday.
Then it'll probably be someone like Mark Levin, something syndicated.
Well, no, now that would be, interestingly enough. I love BJH as much as I love you. So once last week when, the show came on and they said yesterday was John's last day, my heart just sank because I knew instantly what had happened. Because it's not, John, that he wasn't able to talk to the people that loved him. He knew instantly. And I wrote into the woman because she's really good. John used to have her cover, and you knew she put a good show on. Her name is Andrea Darla.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if familiar with her, but she's good at the top. And I just texted in and said, Andrea, you're great, but, under the circumstances, I said I knew once, John left, that I would no longer listen to that station. Now, interestingly enough, Raleigh, to keep it going, John is 63 years old.
Okay.
He has some health issues. And sometimes he will kid about it that, you know, insurance alone what was covered. Certainly got his money's worth.
Yeah.
You know, so that possibly could be something that, that came into play, too, that, you know.
Well, he's called. I don't know it from, of course, I don't know him, and I don't know it from his standpoint, but I have a feeling that part of this was probably a cost-cutting move. Cumulus is in a world of hurt, and most of the major groups are, but I mean a real world of hurt, and that's why they don't have more local shows, obviously. So part of it could be economic, but the other thing is their ratings have been really low for a really long time now, and they can't... break out of the ones. Now, what... That doesn't matter to a local advertiser who can measure results, but that matters to getting a national buy. So I don't know what their billing is like on that station. But bottom line...
What I also wanted to bring up, so if you wanted to know a little bit about this man, because like I said, you are brilliant. And when you talk, people can't say you're cocky. You're just confident because you're good at what you do. You are excellent at what you do. You're at the top of your game. Well, that's basically where John was at. There's a gentleman, and of course you weren't allowed to put anything online at WLS. They do not have a mailing address posted. They do not have their phone number posted. The only thing you can do, they do have a Facebook page, but you had to join it and be on with, 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Well, obviously, if you were on 24 hours, you would have no track record of what his show was like. So it is brilliant. They just wipe the slate clean.
Well, that's fairly normal from a marketing standpoint. They want to just forget he existed and move forward. They want to entice people to listen to whatever's coming.
To know about this man's character, there is a gentleman. I know, are you familiar with Neil Steinbeck?
I know the name.
Okay, he's a columnist. I was not that familiar with him. The only two shows he would watch or go on was John Williams on WLS. And John Howell on the other way around. Yeah,
okay.
WGN was John Williams, WLS was John Howell. And Neil Steinbeck was always willing to talk to those two hosts if he had a great column, because he liked both those gentlemen. Neil Steinbeck was kind enough to, I can't even say it on the name, because he has a blog and it's called Every GD Day.
Mm.
So if you go online, you will see that. And if you put in John Howell's name, he did a brilliant column about John Howell being terminated.
Mm.
And there are 57 comments, and 55 of them talk about John Howell and his character and how much he's missed.
Mm-hmm.
John Howell is the kind of man that, if he wants to continue doing what he's doing, they will come. Somebody will come to him. That's how good he is.
Right. There's so many possibilities. Like I say, he's got a presence on X, which used to be Twitter. And, it just depends what's going on. For instance, you mentioned he has health problems. For one thing, he could do a podcast tomorrow, but that wouldn't necessarily pay him what he wants to make. There's a number of factors, but that's why I said, don't talk about him past tense. He's still with us, and we wish him the best.
No, he's definitely, I had written in there that he will do very well, but the station will not. I don't think they realize how important, John Howell was and what he meant to his listeners.
Well,
because John Howell literally, while he was like Scotty, how you fall in love with certain people and you just know the content of their character?
Mm-hmm.
This was John Howell.
Yeah.
John Howell could interview a frog or interview, and it would be a damn good.
Well, I can't wait to hear him in his next job, and I will be listening.
Well, like I said, check out the Every GD Day. I can't even say what that is. You can see it on the internet.
Okay.
You can read the comments. Gossip, if we are able to talk about that, he did have a sidekick earlier before he did the night shift. In the morning, he was working with a gentleman called Rambling Ray. Are you familiar with him?
No.
Okay, well, they did a morning show when Cumulus did kind of a big changeover. They got rid of Rambling Ray and kept John Howell on to work night. Well, I just found out today, through bated breath, Rambling Ray announced that he would be coming back Friday.
Oh.
Well, of course, this put me in cardiac arrest because I'm thinking, oh, my God, he's betraying his friendship with John Howell. He's going to take this. Well, it turns out Rambling Ray will be working for Kansas City. and he will be working 10 to 12 starting Friday. So I was thrilled to find out that he wasn't taking his friend's place in the open position in the afternoon.
I think in the end what you're going to find out is that it was more than anything an economic move, and that he will not be replaced with a live host.
I believe so.
But you know that's the beauty of it. When someone that you really like to listen to isn't there anymore, it does impact the station if there's enough people behind you. Of course it does.
Well, you know, and there was a comment too that said something. Well, if people weren't happy, they could just switch. The problem is, Raleigh, as you know it, this where do you switch to? Because the quality of broadcasting out there is so poor, so poor. And certain people, you can't replace a Scotty, you can't replace a Raleigh, you can't replace a Jim Bohannon, you can't replace a Milt Rosenberger. You know, there's certain people you just can't replace.
It's true, but, John wants me to, my air conditioning failed, so hang on a minute. Somebody's here.
Okay.
Don't go away. Stay right where you are.
Okay,
but John said, just shut up and come here. So hang on. Don't go away.
Okay.
And I'll tell Adam that I'll do the Sea Crane read at the end of the break.
Oh, thanks, Raleigh.
And I want to talk about radio a moment, one of my favorite subjects, obviously. And that brings me to the C. Crane Company, because Bob Crane should be knighted. Years ago, when he discovered what we all knew, that radio reception had just declined, that radios weren't being made like they used to be, where you could pick up a ton of AM especially, but FM as well. And he vowed he'd do better. And every one of Bob Crane's radios, and there are several from which to choose, has one thing in common. Terrific reception, AM and FM. And right now I want to mention the CC Radio Solar again, because so many emergency messages at late. Well, of course, Maui, we know, and many other disasters. And just here last night, I got like 15 thunderstorm warnings in a row. And I thought, well, if the power goes out, at least I got a CC Radio Solar. Now, the beauty of this is that, of course, you don't need electricity. You don't need batteries either, though you can use them. You can set it in a windowsill and use solar power. You know, if you've done that all afternoon, it's going to play for a few days probably. But let's say you didn't do any of that. It's got a little hand crank on the back. You can crank it for about 30 seconds, and it's going to play for at least 30 minutes. So no matter what, you always have radio. But not only that, it's got a built-in flashlight, so you always have light. So light and radio, you know, when the power goes off, particularly at night, those are the two things you want first, and you'll always have that. It's a neat radio that you could use as your everyday radio as far as that goes, with, like I say, great AM and great FM. And some adapters where, in a pinch, you can charge a cell phone. Now, again, you're not going to make 100 calls on it, but if you're in a mess where you want to make one emergency call, it will probably easily power that. So it's multi-purpose, and you can look at it at ccradio.com. Look at the CC Radio Solar, ccradio.com. If you can't go online, well, do it by phone. 800-522-8863. 800-522-2. And this is real customer service. They will answer all your questions, and you can order if you want that way too. So ccradio.com, you look at the CC Solar, and you tell them Raleigh sent you on WGN Radio. And since we only have a couple minutes left this half hour, we go back to D. And as I was saying, I think we'll all be hearing from John again, and I'm looking forward to it.
Okay, can I ask you a simple question before we go? I know you only got a few minutes.
Yeah.
Because you know a lot about radio. I am just curious, like when they do the ratings, I'm just curious, do they know, like, say there's a topic that's on the radio that the listener might say, I'm not listening to that, and they shut it off, or a particular commercial?
No.
They can't track that?
No, not at all. You know, radio ratings have always been somewhat of a joke, and I could do the history of that some night. It's hilarious, and it involves Chicago, too. But anyway, at the moment, everything in a major market is done through Nielsen's People Meter. And this is a device you wear for a period of time, and they pay you a little bit to do it. And it tracks whatever you have heard. You don't do anything. It's going to track it. And so, interestingly, if you're in a department store and a radio station is playing, that device is going to know it, because all the radio stations encode where they're sending out a signal with their signal that's inaudible to you but picks up on the People Meter. And so they do what they call a representative sample. Well, now the question is, how representative is the sample? You know, and then, of course, in the early days, it's how good was the device in picking up everybody? My favorite story in the beginning, and this goes back to the first deployment of People Meters, I don't know, maybe a decade ago. I don't know how many years. But anyhow, was San Francisco, where in one zip code, no one listened to any radio ever. So, you know, there were mistakes like that. But this replaced the diary method, which was another insane move that broadcasters approved. I remember this in 1966 and thought, you're out of your minds. But nonetheless, my favorite on that was a station in Baltimore went to do the diaries review and looked at a diary where a woman had been listening to news talk all day long nonstop. And then the back of the diary, she wrote, leaving radio on to teach my parrot to talk. So ever since then, we were talking about, well, they're number one in parrot demos. So, you know, those are just anecdotally. But no, in terms of what you're talking about, absolutely not.
Okay, so they have no way of knowing. Because I was just curious. No. They know if there's something you don't like or some hole, you turn it off.
No.
If there's a way at the station that, you know, I guess I'm not doing too well.
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for your time. It was good talking to
Likewise.
You. Love you, Joe. And like I said, if you check out, you know, the Neil Steinbeck EGD, you know, for
okay.
every G day.
Yeah, right. I'll look for it.
It's great pickup.
Okay, right, thanks. Appreciate it. All right,
bye-bye.
Good deal. So we'll get to Leah next hour. Oh, they caught the guy. Yes, and the dog caught them, and I saw the dog Yoda, a beautiful Belgian Malinois. We'll talk about that. And Brian and Joliet as well. But yeah, right now I'm going to try to figure out why is it the air conditioning stopped working, and we'll carry on in moments here on WGN Radio.
You're the only one for me. Why I love so
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. More Vibrations. And this was after their checker period. This was on Epic in 1968. And yeah, Kenny Gamble and Leon Huff were involved in that. Yes. I'm looking at this saying this can't be right, because I don't think it is. I think it was a Chess record, actually. So I'm going to look this up further. I was doing that at the last moment. Well, I've just been told that I've got an FM station with no log on it. And I have no air conditioning. Other than that, it is a swell night. Yeah. And, well, you know, in some ways it's good because it keeps me from realizing how awful I feel. So with that in mind, Leah is in Marcus Hook. Well, Leah, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh, and ask how you are. But...
Oh, God, I don't know.
I already
anymore.
Know.
Yeah, that's not the right vibrations. I know that it was on the Chess Checker group. I know it was. I'll keep looking for that.
And your air conditioning, wow, that sucks.
Well, and it's not new. It's gone out a few other times. And, you know...
Oh, that's the central air?
Yes, of course.
It's not a swamp cooler,
no,
right?
Oh, my God. No. You don't live in places where it's routinely 115 degrees in the day during summer where you got a swamp cooler.
Oh, well, we have a friend who lives in Arizona who has one.
Well, they shouldn't. You know, I mean, I realize there is some low-income housing that does, but they shouldn't.
Oh, okay. No, it's not low-income housing. He's got his own house.
Well, he may have his own house, but then he needs to get rid of that swamp cooler.
Really? What are swamp coolers anyway?
Oh, God. A disaster is what they are.
Okay.
But no, the problem with a swamp cooler is that you're not going to be able to get it below a certain temperature. And it's an evaporative cooler. Now, people use them because it's cheap. It's much less money than a regular central air and AC. So your electric bill, yeah, if you're doing it on the cheap, that's what I say. But it's not going to be cheap at, it's not going to get you the temperature you want. And it also is going to get you humidity, no matter how you you slice it. So you know, I it's interesting to think about what's the external temperature and is it hot or cold and is it wet or not, because a swamp cooler is blowing air through the home. If you're already living in a humid place like the U.S. South, you don't want to do that. But because
he lives in Tucson.
No, I know. Because Arizona is dry, a lot of people think, well, it's dry, so you know, I can use an evaporative cooler. Yes, but not if you want to get it to a really good temperature when it's 120 outside.
Oh, okay.
You know.
All right. I wasn't sure about that. But yeah, they caught him. They caught him early this morning. I didn't hear about it till, you know, around 12:30 when I got up.
Yeah.
But I was so surprised. I was like, oh my God, this is great. But the story is the dog caught him.
Yoda. Yes, Yoda.
Yoda, and he's a beautiful Belgian
Malinois.
I can't
say. Yeah, Malinois.
Malinois, yes.
Yeah.
And he's from Detroit.
Yeah.
And I hope he's getting a big steak dinner tonight.
Oh, so do I. I was that's exactly what I was thinking about. He absolutely deserves it, and I'm sure they they treat Yoda very well.
Well, he was hiding in some brush, and they used the heat signature from the helicopter to find him,
uh-huh.
And he was hiding in some brush, and then they that's how they found him. They used the heat signature, and they couldn't use it all this time because it was too humid. The heat and humidity prevented them from using the heat.
Okay.
Is the technology? I don't know. But they couldn't use it all this time. But we had a rainstorm last night, and it cooled the humidity down a little bit. And they were able to use the heat signature and find him. And then they surrounded him, and then they sent the dog in. And the dog got him by the back of the head and caused, you know, a scalp injury, but who cares, you know? And then what happened was after, now we're hearing on the 11 o'clock news, we heard that he's telling the story now about what went on. He did go for his gun, and that's when the dog, you know, grabbed him by the scalp and prevented mm-hmm. him from using the gun.
Good for the dog.
Yes, good for the dog. And good for the officers, too, who didn't get shot by him. He was planning on carjacking someone. And I said that. I said that to Albert. I said, you know, he's going to carjack someone.
Well, sure.
And he was planning on it. And he also said he survived by eating watermelon in the watermelon field. Watermelon patches.
Okay.
That's what he was surviving on.
Yeah. Now, as far as carjacking, I still think that's probably how he got the white van in the first place.
No, somebody left the keys
in it. Just left the keys in it. All right.
Yeah.
But sure, no, carjacking, I would expect that. But and I like the way they said that that Yoda bit him and then held him down, but apparently didn't bite him that bad because they didn't transport him to a hospital. They just drug him back to jail.
Yeah, well, his face was all covered in blood, and they did bring him out in a hospital gown. So I think they, you know, he did have medics or something.
Yeah, they looked at him there and said, yeah, he can go back to the hospital.
Yeah. Yeah, right. He can go back to prison. I mean, but they took him to a different prison, thankfully, you know?
Yeah, well, we'll see. I haven't forgotten the top 10 prison escapees, so you'll hear about all of them tonight.
Oh, yeah, I do want to hear about that. And I just want to say to Johnny D, I'm really sorry about Caesar. I've been through it with all my cats.
Yeah.
And it's the hardest thing you'll ever have to do.
It is. It absolutely is. You're right.
It's the hardest thing in life. It really is.
Yeah.
It really is. And I understand what he's going through. And my thoughts and prayers are with him and his family.
You
so.
Betcha. Thanks. Appreciate it, Leah.
Yeah. Okay, thanks.
All right, so 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh, and we'll pick it up with Brian and Joliet, and there's plenty of room for you on WGN Radio.
Donna, snowflakes fall. Don't care, don't care at all. I just know I can't go on without you. Maybe someday you will return. It may be a day.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and those are the marathons unrelated to the previous marathons. Actually, I have no idea who these marathons were. Yeah, I heard Alan Freed when he got out to K-Day playing this, and I thought it was a great record in the marathons, and then I found out, no, it's not those marathons. It was released twice in 1959 on JC, which was a Beverly Hills label of Not Note, and then in 1960 on Sabrina. I can't even name another record on Sabrina, so I have absolutely no idea who those marathons might be, but I always kind of like don't know why. So 888-876-5593 is 8888-Raleigh, and Brian is in Joliet. What's up tonight, Brian? All right, we lost Brian. Well, I hope it was a good night for Brian, and I appreciate his waiting all that time because it was quite a while. Lines are absolutely available for you. Or I guess I could get to what I was going to talk about last night with the 10 prison escapees who were never found. And I don't know why these are the top 10 there was a voting page on this. I don't know who put it together, but here we go. Number 10, Theodore Cole and Ralph Rowe. This is 1937. Now, there were probably, after Theodore and Ralph, some more dramatic escapes from Alcatraz. But what Theodore Cole and Ralph Rowe did was they proved you could escape from Alcatraz. They were bank robbers, and they were transferred to what was known as inescapable Alcatraz after their escape attempts at another prison. But even Alcatraz couldn't contain them. They fled on December 16, 1937, after cutting a small hole out of a window in the prison's tire repair shop. They were never seen again. There were alleged sightings, but never again. Now, some say, well, they never saw again because they drowned in the currents of San Francisco Bay. I don't know. I do know. I would think the bodies would have surfaced at some point. But yeah, Theodore Cole and Ralph Rowe. The only thing I'm certain of is if they were still walking the earth by now, natural causes would have gotten them, most likely. More recently, number 9 is Sharon Kinney. Sharon murdered 3 people in the 60s. The first was her own husband, James Kinney. Shot him in the head. The second was Patricia Jones, the wife of a man whom Sharon Kinney was having an affair. The third was a Mexican-born American citizen who Kinney killed while in Mexico and got arrested and jailed, and she was serving 13 years in a Mexican prison, and she escaped on December 7th, 1969. Lack security and a blackout at the prison were her tickets to freedom, and authorities have pretty much all but given up on that. So her outstanding warrant is still in effect, and it's one of the longest in American history. Then we have John Patrick Hannon, 1955. He was serving a relatively light sentence, actually, 21 months, for grand theft auto and assault. And he escaped in England from Vern Prison in December 1955. He and another inmate, Gwinnett Thomas, escaped from the prison after scaling a wall with knotted bedsheets. But Gwinnett Thomas was captured just 16 hours later. Hannon, meanwhile, has never been caught. He's considered the most successful fugitive of all time in term of length and time of eluding capture. He probably is no longer with us, but he could be. I mean, 1955, it's possible. All right, then we have Jerry Bergman, 1969, who started out with a pretty normal life. He served in the Army. Yeah, settled in the Midwest with his wife and 3 daughters, and then he often resorted to burglary as his living to provide for his family. Yeah, it was his day job. Bergman's criminal life eventually caught up with him, and he was sentenced to 10 to 15 years for robbing a drugstore. He eventually transferred from state prison to minimum security prison, and yes, promptly escaped in 1969. In 2013, after 44 years, the search was finally called off and his charges were dropped. Now, there's since then, there's been no word from him, but his granddaughters believe that he's dead. I don't know. Then Glenn Stewart Godwin, 1987. He was just a man trying to get by, worked as a tool salesman, a construction worker, a mechanic before he decided that he could rob his drug-dealing friend. During the robbery, he stabbed his drug-dealing friend 26 times with a knife. He then blew up the truck with his drug-dealing friend's body in it to cover up the murder. So he was serving 26 to life in Folsom when he escaped via a storm drain. Shawshank Redemption escape in 1987. He fled to Mexico and was rearrested, escaped again in September 1991. And his current whereabouts are unknown, but U.S. authorities believe he is working in the Latin American drug trade. Well, number five, Glenn Stark Chambers, 1990. You know, some convicts get out of prison because they masterfully planned a dramatic escape and others forced their way out. Well, Chambers did it the old-fashioned way. He simply rode a truck out and was never seen again. What did he do? He'd beaten his girlfriend to death in 1975 and was serving life inside Polk. Polk is a correctional institute in Florida, not one of the most pleasant. And one day, while loading boxes onto a truck, he cut a small slat out of the truck's roll-up door, stowed himself away. He simply rode out of the high-security prison and let himself out of the cab. And his case remains open, but law enforcement admits we're a couple decades behind him and a lot of ground to make up. Yeah. Then we have Omid Tavili, 2007. He's an Iranian, a boss of a massive Canadian crime family. And I'll tell you more about him and everybody else coming up on WGN Radio.
Let me take you in my arms. Let me take you in my arms and hold you. Show you I love you. Baby, I love you. Baby, I love you. Baby, baby, I love you. Don't love nobody else. You got my love just for yourself. Listen.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Of course, those are the Detroit Emeralds. Their biggest hit, and actually one of my favorites, too. Rarely is that the case. Usually the big hits, I'll say, I don't know. But boy, that one, yeah, absolutely. And of course, it wasn't their first, for sure, but absolutely their biggest. And that would have been 1972 on Westbound. And actually, the Detroit Emeralds started out in Arkansas. No, they were not the Arkansas Emeralds. They were just the Emeralds. They were in Little Rock. And there were four brothers when they started at the time. Anyway, two of the brothers and another guy moved to Detroit and then reformed as the Detroit Emeralds, and they got a deal with Westbound fairly quickly. And their backing band on that and their other record was Chapter 8, which was an interesting unknown band who also helped Anita Baker really big time. But I always thought Baby Let Me Take You was a great record. So why am I playing it? Because Ivory Tillman of the Detroit Emeralds would have turned 82 today, born in 41 in Little Rock. That was the deal. He died in 2014, just the day before his 73rd birthday. Yeah. And Ivory, along with Abram, those two brothers, did go to Detroit and formed with James Mitchell the Detroit Emeralds. All right. So Janice is a first-time caller, and she is in New Orleans. So Janice, welcome to WGN Radio.
It's a pleasure to speak to you, Miss James.
Thank you.
I just wanted to tell you that you have some very nice music that you play, and I really enjoy your show.
That's so nice of you to call. Have you always been in New Orleans?
Yes.
Oh, man. Mm-hmm. So you had some good radio, Whale and WYAT, and yeah, there were all sorts of things.
Back in the day, when I grew up, we had WTIX.
Yes, right. They moved up the dial, and you betcha, and WNOE.
Yeah, my WNOE, WRNO.
Right, yes. Oh,
you know,
RNO.
Lots of different stations. Let me ask you something. Back in the day,
yeah,
did you ever hear of a radio host? Now, he was on WRNO. He went on to go to other stations, WNOE, WLTS and such. But when I had first heard him, he was on WRNO. Does the name Doug Christian mean anything to you?
I know who he is, but I don't know him personally.
Well, he was my husband.
No kidding.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh,
yes,
man.
Absolutely.
Well, absolutely. He would have been around the time of, like, Captain Humble and Russ Boney.
Yes, Russ Boney.
Yeah.
And I knew him.
Right.
And Captain Humble and my husband were very good friends. And, oh, absolutely. Yeah, it was really something.
Yeah, they worked for the Costellos. Man, that was an interesting ownership.
Joe Costello.
Yes, yes. Joe and Michael, yes. And, of course, Joe had to go a short wave, so he put WRNO Worldwide on the air.
mm-hmm.
But Doug's no longer with us, is he?
Unfortunately, no. Something terrible happened. We got the vaccines, the COVID vaccines, because we felt it was the right thing to do. His family had gotten it. There was a man that lived next door to me, house next door. He got COVID, and the ambulance came to his house several times. Now, it was pretty scary to see and everything. So we did what we thought was right. Now, I can't say what caused this issue, but it's awfully strange.
Yeah.
Last year, it was July 24th.
Mm-hmm.
But this is real crazy. Wait till you hear this. My husband was fine when he went to bed. No problems at all that we knew of.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. So he gets up later on, goes into the hallway, but he didn't turn to go to the bathroom like he normally would. So that kind of startled me. So I jump up. I walked over to him. He looks at me and says, "Stroke."
Oh, no.
So I get him to the hospital and everything, call the ambulance, do everything. Then, like a day or two later, they tell me he tested positive for COVID.
Mm.
I couldn't believe it. I took a test here at the house and everything, and I was okay. And then they was saying that he was on a breathing tube
and a
feeding tube and everything. And they were talking, he had a clot to the brain, is what they said.
Ischemic. Yeah, an ischemic stroke.
So
sure.
They removed it, and they were talking about a rehab and everything. And it got to a point where he wanted the phone number.
Mm-hmm.
He was clear in his head. He understood words and everything. And he wanted the phone number. So make sure he got the phone number.
Mm-hmm.
And he called here a couple of days, 2 or 3 days.
Yeah.
And I asked him, I said, "Honey," I said, "are you making the calls or is someone else doing it for you?" He indicated to me that he was doing the calling.
Okay.
And he understood everything I said to him.
Right.
Then a day or two after that, was the 4th of August, I get a phone call telling me that his heart was stopping and starting.
Oh, no.
And that they were trying to, you know, do that thing that they do with, you know,
defibrillators,
chest compression or whatever they call that.
Right.
Yeah, the defibrillator and everything. And then I got another call telling me that he died. But then another thing that really makes this even crazier is that the day he went in the hospital, the 24th of July, when he went in, the day after, I get a text, and it says, "Sit down before you read this." Well, whenever you see something like that, you know it's got to be bad.
Yeah.
It was a daughter, my friend Burl's daughter, they were going to go on a small vacation.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Beryl got the feeling bad. Her daughter took her to a hospital, and she died.
Oh.
I asked her, I said, did they test your mother for COVID? They didn't tell us. Mm. Where was your mother's blood clot? They didn't tell us. And I felt like I was talking to a 12-year-old girl. I mean, she had no answers at all for
right.
me. But my husband and my friend had two things in common.
Yeah.
The clots and the vaccine.
Yeah.
So who knows? I will never know what happened. I'll never have any answers. It'll always remain a mystery. But he was, as far as we knew, everything was fine with him. When he went to bed that evening, there was no indication at all that he had any issues whatsoever.
I'm so sorry to hear this. And, of course, one of the things is there are thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of adverse reactions, and they're mostly being swept under the rug. But so since your husband died, I'm sure you've seen them all, and you know the VAERS database and can read yourself what's going on. But, you know, it's controversial at best, but it's heartbreaking when you hear it firsthand. I'm so sorry you had to go through that, Janice.
Yes, they have a lot of young people that have died and everything out of the blue. And, yeah, it's just really something. So the past year for me has been very, very difficult. It's very difficult. It's lonely and quiet and sad because I just miss him so very much.
I truly
do.
It's heartbreaking because the other thing, of course, is you feel so helpless in a situation like this. Like
and I lost not only one person, I lost two people, which is even crazier. Who would have thought my friend and my husband?
Yeah. Well, they're together on the other side, and they're doing better than you are. And
I hope so.
Oh,
I really
believe that.
So.
You know, it's only in the blink of an eye we'll all be together. But the time between now and then is very rough for you. And you're not getting answers, and you won't get answers, unfortunately. And I just hate to hear these stories all the way around. You know, I try to never be political on this show, but, you know, my head spins when I see what's going on these days.
Mm-hmm. I have no idea. Like I said, I just really don't know. I have no idea. Now, his brother got it, his sister-in-law, his nephew's wife, and his nephew's son, a 15-year-old boy. Some of them got the COVID, and they managed, you know, they got through it okay. So, you know, and they got the vaccines. So, I don't know, things just affect people differently. Like I said, yeah, you're right. I'll never know why or what happened there. I'll never have any.
No, there's no closure in that. Absolutely not.
No.
Yeah.
But
I'm so sorry.
Again, I want to tell you that you do a very, very fine show, and you're just a very, very nice lady.
Well, I'm just so glad you called, Janice, and I hope you're going to do it again. Do you have an all-time favorite New Orleans oldie?
Oh, offhand, I don't know nothing in particular offhand.
Okay, well, maybe we'll play you some Oof Hoof A Doo. All right.
Yes, and I have a friend here. I do have a friend. His name is Jim.
Uh-huh.
And he loves your show as well. Oh. Absolutely. He's a big, big Raleigh fan.
Ah, well, thank you, Jim. Thank you, Jim. I'm so glad you called, and I'm looking forward to the next one, Janice.
Thank you.
All
have
right.
a good evening.
Good deal. Yeah, so 888-876-5593-8888 Raleigh. We'll get to James on the south side and his cavalcade of stories, and there's room for you too. And I haven't forgotten about the read ahead scam. So next hour I'll go through that point by point since I got emails. Hard to believe. All that and more coming up and oop oop a doo next on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. That's just a perfect record all the way around. It was on Minute, Joe Banaschak's label, and what a great little label that was. And that, of course, is, yeah, Jesse Hill. I was going to play the Potson Strike, right? And then I thought, well, New Orleans only, maybe we should just play Iceman. And then I thought better of that. But we'll get more New Orleans because I just love them. And when it comes to Minute, man, Jesse Hill and Ernie Cato and Benny Spellman and, there were so many people. Alan and Alan. Yeah, Tiddlewinks. I always liked Tiddlewinks. So maybe we'll play that. I don't know. Who else was on? The Del Royals. Yeah. I'm trying to think who else. Of course, Aaron Neville from time to time, and Irma Thomas, yeah, to some degree. But yeah, I always think of... And The Showman, don't forget. Rock and Roll Will Stand, and It Will Stand, and, of course, 392146. Wrong label copy, of course. They were trying to say 392140 shape. Yeah, for years I wondered, 392146, whose ideal is that? And when I asked General Johnson that, he said, oh, just a mistake in the label copy. All right, James on the South Side.
How are you? You sound better than yesterday.
Oh, God. And I feel so much worse, you know. And then on top of it, like I thought, for a minute I thought, I'm really getting sick. I'm starting to sweat. And then I realized, oh, wait a minute, the air conditioning's out.
Oh, yeah.
So we add that to the list. They said, we'll be here first thing in the morning. I said, that's fine. The door will be unlocked. Come in and don't wake me. So... Yeah, I don't want to know what you're doing. Do whatever it is. Don't bother me.
Oh, if it isn't one thing, it is another.
Oh, isn't that the truth? Yes. And, Richard Dimples Fields, 1982, yeah. Boardwalk. Okay.
Yes. I was reminded of, of a song. I thought of, thought about if you might want to play, it was called, I think, it was by Big Twist and the Meltos, Baby, Baby, I'm Your Boy.
Oh, yeah.
But then I said, you probably wouldn't play that
one. You're probably right.
Yeah, that it's got a jazzy tune, but it's kind of maybe too much.
Yeah. Well, we'll see.
Unfortunately, Big Twist, maybe he might have wanted to shed a few of those pounds, maybe, because he wasn't around for what had started out as a fairly successful run.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. But let's get to some very, there's some stories you look at, you know, that on this list you say, somehow there's got to be some sort of divine justice.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So we're moving on from Larry Nolan, who is Big Twist, of course, to divine justice. All right. Well, very good.
Yeah. There was like one of the ones that made it through that was from the other day was where they had told this, this pastor that he wasn't going to last too long with cancer. He outlived the diagnosis by quite a bit. That was a good story.
Well, a good story,
in fact,
yes.
It was like,
but what you hope,
yeah.
What you hope is that he didn't take that 3-week prognosis to heart and spend all his money.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you hear those stories occasionally, but yeah, he was a 60-year-old in London, actually, not here in the States, and his health had been deteriorating. They gave him 3 weeks to live, and usually what follows is the guy blows all the cash and then finds out, nope, well, at this point, he was enjoying each day and apparently enjoying it enough that he was healed, I tell you, healed.
I read a power of prayer.
Yeah, I guess. Well, there's a lot of things we can't explain, really. So who knows?
Yeah, and I'm so sorry about the lady who just called.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
And I'm reminded of what happened with Jamie Foxx, where there was like that, where he got, he had to take this shot for this movie, and it was part of the movie contract.
So they say, you know, again, I don't know that there's confirmation on that, but I have heard that story. And, of course, you know, it's never been confirmed that he had a stroke, but I don't think you wind up in Shirley Ryan with something else. So I don't think it's been confirmed yet. These are all conjecture.
Yeah, but I hope that his next movie, well, whenever it, he does, whenever it finally, when it comes out, that he's pretty much the Jamie Foxx we remember.
I hope so too. I absolutely hope so too. And from what they say, the prognosis is very good. But again, the news has been sketchy since then. But as I mentioned, I hate to, you know, say something is a fact when we don't know if it is, because there are so many confirmed injuries that to add to the list when we don't know. And it was actually, Drew Pinsky, Dr. Drew, who had said that Fox mm-hmm. had a blood clot that led to the stroke and right after a COVID vaccine. I don't know. You know, again, I don't think any of us know for sure, but we have heard many of those stories, and some of which are verifiable. But in his case, I don't know. They're not talking.
Yeah, because first off, you don't want to end up where somebody says, oh, we're not going to use you because you had this or something like that. Yeah, you kind of have to, as they say, you have your lawyers for a reason to protect. You're just like the offensive linemen, although we shouldn't stretch that too far, because at least in this town, our quarterback has to run for his life most of the time.
Yeah, so I don't know. Again, we don't know. It sounded like
actually, if he doesn't make it as quarterback, he might do a remake of The Running Man.
Oh God, great. Yeah, so we'll see. And again, even if it was a stroke, we don't know if it was hemorrhagic, which could have come from high blood pressure, or whether it was ischemic, which would have been a clot. Who knows? He has the right not to release his medical, and as far as I know, he never has.
Yeah, and I hope he doesn't, because really, guess what? A lot of times lawyers end up using against you. Maybe you wanted a role that, and they say, oh no, we don't want to use it because of such and such a thing, or you're too old for this. And you know how Hollywood starts, even for old actors. They finally say, oh, we don't want to use you for this, and then they give it to somebody who's not ready for prime time.
You do know that the news is on and we're just talking to each other on the stream. So I thought I might mention that. Yeah, the news started a while ago, James. So if you're listening on the stream, well, that's great. But if you're trying to listen on WGN, you're not hearing us. So we will talk next time.
Okay, all right. You take care.
All right,
and
you too.
And John is sounding a little better too.
Excellent. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Okay.
Okay, bye.
You take care. I'll probably call you tomorrow.
Okay. We'll have more stories, I'm sure. Yeah. So I just looked, and see, that's why I've got Adam there, because he keeps me in line. When I just blow every break, he says, well, fine, and plays the news, which is exactly what he should do. So in a few minutes, we'll reconvene. And of course, the stream is silent during the break. So I'd say 5 minutes from now, I'll be talking to you again. That was going to be Iceman by Big Joe. I don't know why it didn't start, but maybe that's for the best, or maybe it's about to. Oh, it's not too late. Okay.
Iceman, Iceman, got the coldest ice in town. Iceman, Iceman, the women love for me to come around. The lady living over there across the street, she gets one piece and it lasts a whole week. Iceman, Iceman, got the coldest ice in town. Iceman, Iceman, the women love for me to come around. You know I'm the best Iceman in these blocks. I'll give you the right size piece if you just open your box. Iceman, Iceman, got the coldest ice in town. Iceman,
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Yeah, Cherie, the oldie sweetheart, used to play that on WYAT, right, where Barry Richard, the Riazar, did Afternoon. So, yeah, had to play some Iceman there on the Wow label. And as you can tell, it's from my original 45, and boy, it sounded it, too. And, yeah, Big Joe, and no, not Big Joe Turner. All right, I sometimes see that online, like, no, absolutely not the same guy. All right, so 888-876-5593-8888, Raleigh. Boy, it gets hot fast. I'll tell you what. This air conditioner has been a little tricky for the last month. And, you know, a couple times people came and did stuff. And, oh, you'll be fine now. Huh. So anything but. However, I assume help is on the way. or I'll perish in the process. All right, so the... going to tell you about the read ahead trick. And firstly, to back up, we were talking about Reverend Sophie Bush, who was at the Miami Spiritualist Church in Hialeah, actually. And she was part of Lilydale Assembly, which we talked about in New York. And this goes back to early mediumship, you know. And of course, you've heard about table tipping and all that and the Fox sisters and you name it. But the first time I went to see Sophie Bush, I remember coming home because I wasn't old enough to drive, so I must have been like 15. And I don't know who I conned into driving me to Hialeah, but somebody. And I came home and said, she knows everything. And my mother patiently said, explain it to me, dear. And I did, and she started to laugh, and she said, it's the oldest carny trick in the book. It's just the read ahead trick. All right, so let me set it up for you, since even John said, well, yeah, I heard you say it, but I didn't know what it was either. Remember Johnny Carson, when he'd do the Karnak act, he'd have the big hat and he'd, you know, pick up a piece of paper and he'd hold it to his head and he'd answer the questions and then he'd open the piece of paper and look at the questions, right? Okay, so here's what you do. You've got an audience, in this case, full of parishioners, Sophie Bush, and you write your burning question, or in some cases, three questions, down on a piece of paper. You fold the paper in half and you write your initials on it. Then when the hat is passed around, you put the paper that's folded into the hat. All right. And then, of course, here comes Sophie doing her thing. But the read ahead part is this. When the hat is passed to Sophie, this is the only sleight of hand and maybe the only talent in this story, really. She manages to see one of the papers. She knows what initials are on the front. She opens it and she sees the question. All right, then she puts that aside in the hat. Nobody's seen this because it's done fairly, you know, surreptitiously. So here comes the show, and here comes Reverend Sophie pulling with full ceremony, pulling out one of the cards and holding it to her neck. Now let's just say, the card that she saw that nobody knew she was reading, the initials were CK, and CK wanted to know if she was going to die from whatever illness she had. All right, so that was CK's. Now, so here's Sophie. Sophie, in front of the audience, pulls a card out, holds it to her head and says, CK, no, you're not going to die. And she opens the card. And of course, the card that she's picked up isn't CK's. It's the next one. It's, you know, DJ's. And DJ wants to know, is his dog going to die? All right. And so now everybody thinks that she answered CK's question. She picks another card up. You see where this is going, I would think. And she says, DJ, no, your dog's going to be fine. And she opens this next card. Well, now she's got the next question she's going to ask. So by reading one ahead, she's seeing all the initials and all the questions, but nobody in the audience is any wiser to this. So they think that she's truly gifted because she's answering the questions just off the top of her head, literally. And that's the read ahead trick, which is one of the oldest carny tricks in the book. So now you know. I hope that made sense. If you've got any questions, that's fine. But I never know what's going to float your boat, what's going to bring you out, but all told, I got half a dozen emails on the read ahead trick. You know, it's like, okay. So hopefully now you understand. But if not, I'll see if I can explain it more succinctly than that. But it's it truly the oldest carny trick in the book. All right. So with that, we get Johnny in Austin. All right. So Johnny, going. What's going on tonight?
Good morning. I was thinking about calling you the past couple of nights, but I didn't act on it. I just thought about it. So tonight I thought, well, if she's up there suffering with a little heat and no air conditioning, I could give you a little relief.
Yes, yes, yes. Talk about anything you want.
How many bags of ice you want me to send over?
Don't I wish. Yeah, I know. Well, you know, I'm going to stand in front of the refrigerator after the show. That's all I can tell you. I'll just leave the door open.
Well, I, you know, it's not like the old days. I don't think you're going to lock yourself in there.
No, I guarantee you. No, absolutely. I'm lucky if it closes tightly enough to keep the food fresh.
Well, anyway, I was happy to hear you got a new caller by the name of Janice.
Yes.
In New Orleans. And,
yes.
Did I miss it, or does she listen online, or does Janice listen to you in New Orleans on the radio?
I didn't ask her.
So. I didn't know if you did or not.
No,
I didn't ask her.
Yeah. Yeah, so, no, we got talking about Doug, and that was the end of asking her where she was listening. Yeah.
Did she say her husband was a DJ at one
Yeah,
time?
He was on WRNO, among other stations. And, I mean, this was in the big days of WRNO. And as you probably know, the Costello brothers owned WRNO. And it was, you know, one of those independently owned local stations. And Joe Costello got it in his head one day that he wanted to be on shortwave. And so he started WRNO Worldwide and actually did get a shortwave.
I vaguely remember
yeah.
this.
Yeah, of course. Of course. And
was
so,
WRNO an AM or an FM?
FM 99.5.
Okay, so what year are you talking here?
I would say certainly early 70s, but probably before that. I think that it signed on in 67, and that's when Joe Costello was managing it. And it was kind of a progressive rock then. So I'd say 67 with that, but it morphed by the early 70s into a truly legitimate radio station.
Well, so, now, where did this shortwave come about? I vaguely remember, but I don't know anything about it.
Well, okay. This he started this on 1982. And at the time, there were actually other people who were going to put on shortwave stations, too. One of the real guys, it turned out to be a scam, was a guy named Dixon Norman in Opelika, Alabama. He was going to have NDXE and all that. And, of course, it never did happen. But he got a license in 82, and he broadcast probably a decade and not continually, necessarily. You know, it was the first privately owned shortwave station that had been licensed in quite a while, you know, other than this Dixon Norman guy who never got his on the air. And before Costello had it, I think there were only three NGO, non-governmental organization, American shortwave broadcasters. Well, by the end of the decade, that was like 16. Because, of course, who wants shortwave? Well, the preachers, you know, let's face it. So RNO was actually rock originally, World Rock of New Orleans. And
when he put this shortwave on, did he simulcast the
station? Eventually it was simulcasting, yes, but not initially. Initially, it was noon to midnight, and it was, you know, programming for it, but yes, it wound up being simulcasted. And then, you know, by the time the 90s rolled around, it started to lease airtime to, you know, religious entities.
There's a gap within me that has been a void, and I've never had anybody to actually ask this question, but for so many years, you know, there was no commercial shortwave radio stations. When did this the rules relax or change, or what happened along the way?
Well, you know, that's a great question, and I don't know. I don't know that there was any regulation with that, because there weren't any private owners of this, because obviously, no, for the most part, no one in America listens to it.
Right.
And so, there just wasn't. But that's a great question. When did they allow? And still, you won't hear commercials. You just hear people buying the time, usually preachers.
But there's a guy who's a big radio PD. What's his name? You'd know him. He worked CKLW, Big Jim Edwards.
Jim Davis. I know him very, very, very well. Yeah, he was on that station. I think it went down, actually, that they did a lot of oldies on that. But
well, there was World. It had a name. It just went off recently.
Yes, exactly.
WTWW, maybe?
That sounds about right.
But then I think now he's back on somewhere else, and you can find that on your Sea Crane internet radio, probably.
Okay. So,
but he's back on with something else, and I don't know. Is it Jim Edwards or Jim Davis?
It's Jim Davis. It's Jim Davis.
And he was PD at Chem in Denver. I actually had a friend who worked with him in the morning as his news anchor person.
No, he was a KMPC also, and he was he was Big Jim Edwards on WJIM in Lansing, but he was on CKLW and a number of other stations.
My friend Walt Baby Love is a good friend of his.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's interesting. Anybody can apply for building a high frequency station, you know, shortwave. But that's not
cheap to run.
Well, this is where I was going to go with this. In fact, there was someone. My interest is such that my mind wanders and I don't remember. But there was someone who recently either shut one down or whatever who was giving a tour of it. And it is very costly because of the amount of wattage you're looking at. And so it makes sense in when you're selling it to preachers, of course, because they're just looking for headcount and they'll pay for the time. But when you're trying to KUSW in Salt Lake City had a rock format on shortwave for a while, and KUSW was sold to Trinity, of course, and we know Trinity, Jan and Paul Crouch, that became part of TBN. And of course, ultimately, Good News World Outreach bought RNO and like that. Now, BCQ, which is one of the exceptions, is Alan Weiner owns that in Maine. And BCQ is successful. But there again, you look at what they do, and a lot of it is brokerage. So, that's the problem.
I've listened to WWCR.
Yeah. Now,
Asheville, I believe they got four transmitters.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, heck, you were on shortwave for a number of years.
Yes, I was. And that is through a wonderful friend who was a benefactor who wanted my message to be heard. And she bought the time. I did not. So I don't know.
How many years were you on short? You were on 3.320.
Yeah, I don't know, a decade or something.
How many years were you on there?
Like I say, several years, maybe as long as a decade, not longer.
I'm thinking, yeah.
Yeah, but the main station is interesting, but like I say, now that's BCQ, mostly preaching and teaching type things. But yeah, when WTWW went out of business, and this is only a year ago, I think some of it went to WRMI, and I think then it got relaunched or something, but RMI and, of course, like you say, WWCR. So you got the ability to do this, and because America will let a private owner own it, but who's going to pay the power bill?
Well, I know. And so you would think that being on one of these stations with brokered time, it's not cheap to buy time on those stations either.
I would guess not. I have no idea, since I was not involved in that end of it. I don't know.
I had a friend who visited within the past couple of years before they shut down that WTWW. I believe that's what it was called.
Yeah, it was.
And it was in.
It was in Lebanon, Tennessee. Lebanon, Tennessee, where Hartman Luggage used to be made. Yes.
Well, you took that a step further.
Well, I'm a Hartman girl. I used to go to the factory outlet all the time. I just miss it.
Okay. Well, my friend visited that station briefly, and he said it was in pretty bad disrepair. It was not in very good shape.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he's a tech. You know, he went, you know, they showed him a little bit, but he said, you know, the grass hadn't been cut, and he said it was a little strange, but I guess they were just hanging on by a thread.
And they were off the air for a while, and then they came back, and it was just pretty much strictly religion. So the CP for that came out in about 2009, and I think that they got on the air sometime before 2010 ended. And so that was...
Well, my real question about shortwave, it's always been this way. Okay, for example, when you were on shortwave, it was on at night.
Yeah. At night here, yes.
Yeah. But who was able to hear you in distant lands when you were, say you were on midnight or whatever?
Right. Well, that
on shortwave here, who was able to hear you where at that time?
It depends what transmitter they're using and on what frequencies. And that's why this is one of the reasons that it doesn't catch on in America, because you're dealing with multiple frequencies at different times of the day. So hang on a minute. Don't go away. We'll pick it up right there on WGN Radio.
You say you wanna be loved, but you won't let me love you.
No, no, no.
You say you want someone to trust in you. Can't you see that's what I'm trying to do? I know you've been hurt before, and you're afraid to try. Love once more without love by your side. You're only half alive, 'cause everybody needs love. You say you wanna be kissed, but you won't let me kiss you.
No, no, no.
You say you wanna be missed, huh? Can't you see how my arms are missing you? He's got you hurting so inside. So now from a love you try to hide, but no matter how you try, without love you can't survive. 'Cause everybody needs love, oh yeah. Baby, everybody needs love.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. That's Jimmy Ruffin. Yeah, Everybody Needs Love. It was a flip side on the Soul label in 1968. I know that Johnny likes it. I do, too. We'll continue to talk about shortwave. And, it never really caught on in America. And I will say, it's horrible to, you know, say this outright, but more than anything, it's a means of propaganda. And we'll, nations all across the globe have hit on that. So we'll talk about that and more coming up on WGN Radio. Favorite Shy Lights record, indeed. Yes, 1981 on Shy Sound. Hot on a Thing Called Love. Yeah, Eugene Record wrote it and produced it with Carl Davis. And just a fine song. There's a good cover in the beach music world, too. The Entertainers did that. Maybe I'll play that next. We're talking with Johnny Goin about a shortwave at the moment. And, a lot of different frequencies aiming in a lot of different places. So what else you want to know?
Well, when you would be on shortwave, that I could actually hear you at night here in the USA. But where else were you being able to be listened to when you were on shortwave, and I could hear you here in the U.S.?
It could have been anywhere, depending on which transmitter they put me on. And again, I did not acquire the time, and I never paid attention to what they were putting me on. But most shortwave operations will have multiple transmitters because they're aiming at multiple parts of the world simultaneously. So, it could have been whatever they wanted to aim at. Now, it also had to do with where were they on the dial, because if they were, you know, close to 1700 AM, that's a different set of rules than if they're up, in the 30. So, right. So most of the stations will have a chart that will tell you when. And it's interesting.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I never could quite figure it all out.
Yeah, well, you probably wouldn't want to. What's interesting, a lot of countries have given up, you know, doing it on a countrywide basis. Like, Australia used to run it, and I think they still have some, but for the most part, some of theirs is just not there. VOA, obviously, you betcha, and again, you can look at the group of frequencies, but, they say that this is worldwide very much listened to, but, of course, I can't prove that, So.
No, we both agree that shortwave is not real listened to in this country.
No,
but
no.
What countries do listen to it?
Well, traditionally all of Europe did, but now what happens is countries are targeted, and so that's why I said it's propaganda. Some entity might be obviously like Radio Marti down in Key West. Well, you know that.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I know all about that.
And that's going to target Cuba, obviously, pretty close. But Radio Free Asia is looking at China. Radio Farda is looking at Iran. So some of it is that way. And with the privately owned stations, the WWCR or, RNB or whatever, or WRNO, which, of course, isn't on the air in any form anymore, I don't think. But in any event, the privately owned ones were not necessarily, targeting propaganda. They were mostly selling to, again, preachers and some political extremists, things like that. So, but I'd say more than anything, if I had to pick, preachers.
Yeah, and also the guy that we both are aware of, Alex, I think his last shortwave broadcast was the 8th. That's what I heard them saying when I would hear him on shortwave.
Okay,
His last day was the 8th, and I haven't.
8th of,
I would,
of this
I would
month?
Catch WWCR on their on my internet radio.
Yeah, okay, so the 8th of this month?
Yeah, just a couple of days ago. All I haven't checked to see if that's still true, but I think that's over.
Right.
So we talked shortwave. That's good enough. That to some it's very boring in the radio. Oh. But you were playing Hot on a Thing by the Shy Lights, and I remember back in it was about 80. Had to be about 85 or 86. I got to see them in person. They put on a show in Houston.
Uh huh.
And they were the Shy Lights were just great live.
Yes.
They came here to some venue. It wasn't a big one. It was pretty small club.
Mm-hmm.
But they were absolutely amazing.
Yes. Yes. And Marshall Thompson is still around and still performing.
Yeah, I I can't even remember the reason why they were there, but I happened to go. Very few concerts I've ever gone to, but that was one of them, and quite good. But when you played that Hot on a Thing, I could tell that I think Raleigh likes this one. I also have that same song on a compilation. And I believe on that same compilation includes Gene Chandler called Does She Have a Friend for Me?
Oh, okay.
You know that one?
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
That'd be great to hear sometime. And my original reason for calling, after I heard Janice, I was very impressed that you had another New Orleans listener, and I wondered how she was hearing you. So at any rate, you played the Detroit Emeralds earlier.
Yeah, I sure did.
Now, here's a good trivia question for you. When I was at KYOK back in 1971 and 2 in Houston, Feel the Need was recorded on Westbound Records by a guy named Damon Sean. Released about May of 72.
Okay.
On Westbound number 193.
Interesting.
Didn't do anything. It did chart. It charted R&B. But then, back around November of 72, Detroit Emeralds released Feel the Need on Westbound number 209.
Yeah.
Same song. And I didn't know if you were aware that there were two versions of that and how any kind of story behind that.
You know, I don't know, but now you know darn well I'm gonna find out. And so the Sean one, what was the number on that again?
193.
Okay. All right. Well,
and I'm not with my computer now, but I can send you a copy of it.
Yeah, Damon Sean, Feel the Need, Westbound.
And it was doggone good.
December of 71.
You know, yeah, it's kind of a blur to me because I was at KYOK when both of those songs came out, and neither one of them, well, I mean, Feel the Need by the Detroit Emeralds version hit 22 R&B. And the Damon Sean hit 42, so somebody kind of possibly said at that label, well, we didn't make it with Damon, let's pass it on to Detroit Emeralds and see what they can do. But they sounded very similar. It might have even been the same music track.
I'm looking for this. I want to hear it now. I absolutely want to hear this. Damon Sean. Interesting. No, I don't know this record. Did not know it existed. Know nothing about it. Am not.
That's good.
Yeah. Well. All right. So now we have to find out who the heck. Did we know who Damon Sean was?
No. And I looked up the Detroit Emeralds, and I didn't see. First, I thought he might have been a member of the group.
No, he's not.
But this is one of those weird things like Loveland by Charles Wright.
Oh,
a guy we're talking about the. Got to Find My Baby by James Gadson, which was the same song with different lyrics as Loveland. Yeah. It's kind of a little mystery like that.
Well, we're going to find out who this I want to know who he is. He also released something on Janus. Actually released the same thing.
I actually had the 45 and we played it on KYOK.
Really?
Yeah, we played, and of course, Wear This Ring With Love, I think it was the first song ever played by them.
Right, but, I want to hear this. Let's see. Yeah.
You want to hear the Damon Sean version?
Yes, I'm going to hear it right now. I believe I'm going to hear it right now. We'll find out together if I'm going to hear it right now, but I think maybe I am. Let's see.
Like Joe Texas, I believe I'm going to make it.
Never heard it, but no, and I can see where there's some production similarities, but no, clearly it's not them. So, but
there is a connection to it.
Well, absolutely, there's a connection. Now, the guy who wrote it produced the Damon Sean version. So, what I'm going to look at now is the 45 of the Detroit Emeralds to see what happened there. All right, he produced this one too. Well. So
you see, that goes back to my speculation, maybe, that, well, Damon didn't cut it. Let's try it with the Detroit Emeralds.
Oh, I believe that's true. I believe that's absolutely true. And it's all within the same year, basically.
And they really sounded, to me, pretty similar.
The production does, but not his voice.
Yeah, did you have the Detroit Emeralds version?
Yeah, of course. But let me, before I do that, I want to know who this is. And, you know, nobody's coming up where I would know quickly. Who is Damon Sean? And, you know, it's like, who is this person? And we're talking basically about three records on Westbound. Westbound 190, 193, and 217.
I can play trivia with you.
Yeah, no, I don't know who this is. Well, you can't play trivia. You can't give me the answer. So it only works if you can solve the mystery. Who is he?
Oh, I got it, yeah.
Yeah, I'd like to know.
I tried.
Who is he? And clearly you don't know either, so I guess we don't get to know. All right, but Detroit Emeralds is, but I assume it might have even been the same studio guys. That wouldn't surprise me at all. Now let me try to get rid of Damon. Goodbye, Damon, and bring in the Detroit Emeralds. Come on, Detroit Emeralds, here we are.
Intro sounds the same.
Well, yeah, I'm telling you. The production does, but not his voice. Oh, don't tell me this is just going to be the instrumental. Jeez.
Did you lose a channel?
No, I didn't lose a channel. I just played the instrumental version. All right, that's not good. All right, let me... that's not good. Yeah, I've got a lot of these are just instrumental. But, Detroit Emeralds. Okay, I'll do it that way. And here we go. All right. So, yeah, good old, let's see. Let's see.
Play the vocal of the horse sometime.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God. Yes. Yes, 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 yes. Oh, man. So, yeah. All right. Well, let's see if this is going to be a charm. I don't know. Sounds the same to me so far, of course.
Well, we might be able to read a long weather forecast.
The license renewal, what do you think? Okay, so I only have the, oh, that's unbelievable. Well, I'll find it on another list, all right? Yeah. All right.
I really stumped you with this one. Speaking of stumped, while you're prowling around looking for this.
No, I found it. And of course, it does sound the same, but I do believe that they're going to, in fact, sing.
See how I'm walking. See how I'm talking.
Yeah. So
that's pretty darn close.
Well, it is close, but I don't think it's the same guy.
Oh, no. It's not.
No, but obviously it may be the same track, you know, the instrumental track. Well, let's use it on them. Who knows?
Yeah. By the way, I did get in the mail this early Smokey Robinson and the Miracles CD that was actually it was an import from Australia that had this song on it that one of your listeners had requested as a bumper called Would I Love You by Smokey and the Miracles.
Yeah.
That is a fabulous song.
Yes, it is.
God.
Absolutely.
I never heard it before.
Really?
No. Okay. I have it now.
Well, yes, you do have it. Absolutely, you have it. But, on Tamla.
I do. And, you know, you played that great Jimmy Ruffin, Everybody Needs a Love.
Yeah.
And I've been looking to get that on a CD, but I don't, they're expensive.
Well, you got to keep looking. Sometimes Amazon will come up with a used one that's dirt cheap.
I've taken some risks on that, and I haven't been disappointed.
Right. No, I do it all the time, and it doesn't bother me in the least. Occasionally, I'll get something where I think I better wash this cover. Somebody ate dinner on it, but for the most part, they've been in really good shape. But yeah, What I Love You is a fine Miracles record.
And you said it was on the flip side of That's What Love Is Made Of?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely great. Yeah.
So that was great. That was 64, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, sounds right. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, and it was a good record.
So we still don't know who Damon Sean is.
No, I'm writing it down, though. Like I mentioned the other day, I think I'm getting a little closer to the Vitones on the Shamal label, but I'm not sure, so we'll put Damon Sean in this mess as well.
What a mess it is.
Well, it is. It absolutely is. And what's really sad, of course, is that, you know, for all the things that are being preserved, these records will forever go away at some point. Nobody's going to say, oh, have you heard the Damon Sean? You know, it's just not going to come up.
You know, I've looked for and everybody thinks they've got the perfect format. I understand that. But I've been all over the place looking for my personal favorite classic soul R&B station. And I just don't think it exists.
No, well, firstly, it would be suicidal. Years ago, when John Tyler was doing Satellite Music Network, he came to me before your friend ultimately took the job and wanted me to be the program director of Heart and Soul. And I told him...
Oh, really?
Yes. And I remember talking to him at the time, because he loved Mediatrix, my company, and some of the reports I did and all that. And he said, you're the perfect person for this. And I said, I'm not suicidal. He said, what do you mean? I said, this is not commercially successful. I said, this is my love. This is my passion. I want to listen to these records. But surely to God, you don't think it's going to work. And, of course, they put Heart and Soul on. And, of course, it didn't work for the most part. But it was wonderful to listen to.
I called John Tyler in 1980. Oh, gosh, when was it? 88 or 9, maybe?
Okay, that's late in the game for him.
It was, and I said, he didn't know me, and I just called him out of the blue.
Right.
And, hell, I didn't know you knew him, but I said, you know, you're doing this Heart and Soul, but it's not being done right.
Yeah.
And then he turned me on to the guy, and I can't remember his name. It was the head guy of all the satellite music stations. Mm-hmm. It won't even come to me.
Yeah.
And I called him. He returned the call. I missed him, and it never happened.
Right.
But, you know, I mean, they were just you've got to have the feel for what it is, but I do disagree with you. I do think it's viable if you do it right.
Oh, I wish it was, but I just don't go there. Of course, you know, when I work with stores, they would have me in the music meetings, and I didn't know it for the longest time. If I liked it, they knew it wouldn't be a hit.
I've heard you say
that
before.
Yeah, absolutely true. She really likes it? Well, this is going to tube. By the way, I'm not on the air right now. I think we're doing commercial breaks again, and so I think it's probably the end of the show. So let me see what Adam's up to. So are we done, Adam?
Yeah.
Okay, we're done. All right, so apologies to Sherry, who I hope will call tomorrow night. And, yeah, we've finished the show.
Oh, okay then. Well, somebody's hearing us online. Probably.
That's exactly right, and I'll keep it on the stream. And thank you for keeping me company.
You're welcome. And if you get a chance and feel the desire to do it, sometime give Gene Chandler's "Does She Have a Friend for Me" a spin.
Okay, I will load it right now on the little playlist thing so that it will come up tomorrow night.
And good luck on your AC.
Thank you. Talk to you later.
All right. Have a good night.
So, yeah, good deal. Always nice to end the show with somebody like Johnny Gowen. Really appreciate his call. And, again, Sherry, apologies to you, but we'll do it again for 21 hours from now. Until then, well, that was a wrap. They're about to go into news on WGN, so I'll say talk to you later.